voters said no to two proposed constitutional amendments that would have limited the governor's power. We've got more on that and other key races from yesterday's primaries. It's Wednesday, August 14th. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Mallory Chang. Coming up, a Trump-endorsed candidate wins in Northeast Wisconsin. And on the other side of the state, Democrats pick a candidate to challenge Republican Derek Van Orden. We've also got more election news and a story from Wisconsin Life about the last weeks of summer. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Being up to date on the news matters to you. That's where Wisconsin Today comes in. These 10 minutes of the biggest stories from around the state, they're possible thanks to community support. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Wisconsin voters have rejected proposals that would have given Wisconsin's legislature more power over spending. As Sarah Lear reports, unofficial results tallied Tuesday night showed that measures to amend the state's constitution failed, with close to 60% of voters in opposition.
For decades, Wisconsin law has given the governor sole discretion over how federal funding can be allocated in many cases. But that would have changed under Republican-backed proposals to amend the state constitution. The failed measures would have required the governor to get the legislature's approval before spending federal money. Eau Claire resident Michael Nervobig voted no. He says sometimes a governor needs to get money out fast.
When you have emergency funding, you don't sit there and debate what to do.
Republican sponsors said the amendments would have added much-needed checks and balances. They accused Democratic Governor Tony Evers of allocating billions of dollars in federal pandemic aid without adequate oversight. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Madison business executive Eric Hovde easily defeated two challengers in yesterday's Republican U.S. Senate primary. As Rich Kramer reports, it officially sets up his November matchup with Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Hovde and Baldwin have campaigned as if they were the only two candidates in the race for months. But unlike Baldwin, Hovde had a primary to deal with first. His opponents were Republicans Regine Ravindran of Stevens Point and Charles Barman of Sharon. The Associated Press called the race soon after polls closed, with Hovde receiving an overwhelming majority of the Republican vote. Ravindran and Barman ran long-shot campaigns on shoestring budgets, while Hovde's campaign stayed focused on Baldwin. Nearly all polls of Wisconsin voters this year have shown Baldwin leading Hovde in hypothetical general election matchups. Last week, the Marquette University Law School showed her leading by 7 percentage points among registered voters. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Eau Claire business owner Rebecca Cook won the Democratic primary in the 3rd Congressional District yesterday. She'll now take on Congressman Derek Van Orden of Prairie du Chien, who was unopposed in the Republican primary. Cook beat out State Representative Katrina Shanklin of Stevens Point and Eric Wilson of Eau Claire. She attributed her success to the connections she built during her last primary run in 2022.
Whether it's a community that's large like Eau Claire or a community that's small, like Ellsworth, we've spent a lot of time really working to build relationships with people across the 3rd CD.
Cook has already faced attacks from national Republican Party groups. The Western Wisconsin Congressional District is one of only two in the state that are considered competitive this November. Republican businessman Tony Weed won a three-way GOP primary for Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District yesterday. As Joe Schultz reports, it sets up a general election contest against Democrat Kristen Lierley in November.
Weed defeated State Senator Andre Jacques and former State Senator Roger Roth. They were running for a seat previously held by Republican Mike Gallagher, who resigned earlier this year. Weed was a political unknown before entering the race. He was the only candidate endorsed by former President Donald Trump. After being declared the winner, Weed told reporters he thanked his opponents for a spirited debate.
I think it's important now more than ever to unite as a Republican Party, and I am going to do everything in my power to bring the Republican Party together.
He will face off against Democrat Kristen Lierley on November 5th. Lierley, an OBGYN, has made abortion rights central to her campaign, while Weed has framed abortion as a state issue. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
acting Housing and Urban Development Secretary Adrian Todman was in Milwaukee yesterday. She announced $100 million in competitive grant funding to build more affordable housing. Todman and Democratic Congresswoman Gwen Moore spent the morning at McKinley School. The building was converted last year into 38 affordable apartments on Milwaukee's Near West Side. Rents range from $500 to about $1,100, depending on residents' income. Todman says she hopes similar projects can be replicated around the country.
And so one of the reasons I'm here is we know that there are other people that need affordable housing, other people who are struggling with high housing costs, whether they're renting or they want to become a first-time homeowner.
Earlier this year, Milwaukee received $2 million from HUD. Communities can apply for the new round of grant funding. Coming up from Wisconsin Life, writer Olivia Herkin makes her peace with the month of August. That's coming up right after this break.
Need a hand with that? Maybe Larry can help.
Larry Mueller here. We're taking a look at training your pet
and see if you can manage your debt on your own.
There is an iPhone storage setting that you can go into. It will tell you how much storage each application on your phone is using.
And I found that incredibly helpful.
Great questions.
You can be a lot of things.
The Larry Mueller Show, weekday mornings at 11 on WPR News.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about embracing the present.
Wellness books and self-care social media accounts often stress the importance of living in the moment. But what if you're just not into the current moment? How do you approach things more positively? Journalist Olivia Herkin has been thinking about this a lot lately, specifically when it comes to her least favorite month, August.
I usually think of August with disdain. It has long been my least favorite month, a hot, muggy 31 days standing between me and my favorite time of year. Everyone has their season, and mine has always been autumn, and I have to admit that each year, I sit around and wait for summer to end. I love the crisp, comforting feeling of fall, and usually around the 4th of July, I start counting down the days. I start putting cinnamon in my coffee and pulling out sweaters that have sat in the back of my closet for months. I plot my Halloween costume and my birthday festivities. I dream of apples and pies and long walks down leaf-covered paths. Fall is the season when I truly come alive, but in my waiting for September each year, I often forget that I'm alive in August, too. I've been trying to work on being more present in life, and part of that is embracing the here and now. Too often, I find myself rushing through one stage of life because I can't wait for the next one to begin, or moving through life catatonically until I get to a place that feels more comfortable, more joyous. We all do it. We tell ourselves to just push through. It will all be perfect, and that's when we can really start living. If I lose 15 pounds, I'll finally like who I am. I can't enjoy this movie until I've cleaned the entire house, answered every email, and lit a candle that matches the mood perfectly. If I just transform myself overnight, then I'll be happier. And while we wait, we miss out on valuable time. Even if they're not our favorite stages of life, they have merit too, and lessons to be learned and joy to be felt. Why do we do that? Why do I wait for autumn to start enjoying my days? I've decided that it might be better to savor every day we have, hot or cold, perfect or flawed. So in an effort to be more present, I'm romanticizing this time of year and relishing in each sweaty moment. I'm making a promise this year to appreciate August, which is usually my least favorite month, but has more beauty in it than I've let myself see before. August, you are when sunflowers come into full bloom and when the wildflowers are heavy with bees and butterflies. You're when the blossoms on my pumpkin vine start turning into melons. You're when the sumac sets ablaze and the aster bursts with purple. You are a sweet, hazy few weeks people spend soaking up the last few moments of summer freedom. You feel like one last jump off the dock into the lake or a final coast on your bike down the hill just before nightfall. This August, I'll camp out in my dad's backyard with my siblings. I'll see Hootie and the Blowfish. I'll have a sleepover with my nieces and nephews before they go back to school. I'll do crafts with my friends and watch good shows and take slow walks along the lake that will be covered with ice and snow before we know it. People I care about were born in August. We'll have a blue moon this August. Peppers and squash and green beans and blueberries will be their tastiest in August. I can listen to Taylor Swift's song August on repeat with meaning. I get good mileage on my coasters in August. Did you know that the word August means respected and admired? I didn't know that. We'll have five Fridays this August. Fireflies still dance outside my window in August. Lemonade still hits the spot in August. The trees are at their fullest in August. August is sticky with heat, but also with ice cream cones dripping down my elbow. The days grow softer and shorter in August. August is someone else's favorite month. August is not my enemy, but the opening act. The rehearsals, the building of sets and folding of programs, the sweeping in between the aisles, the lighting check. Without it, the show can't go on. I want to admire myself in that same way. I don't want to wait to love myself or my life until it's perfect, until I feel like I have nothing left to fix, because that day will never come. And even if I come close to it, August will always come back around. I want to love myself in every phase, in every season. And to do that, I'm going to start by loving August.
Olivia Herkin is a writer and journalist who lives in Madison. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
I definitely feel the same way about August and a little bit about July as well. So I'm going to be taking some of Olivia's words and thinking about them today of how can I be more present and approach today more positively. And that's today's podcast for this Wednesday. Thank you for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Mallory Chang. Our producers today were Rob Menser and John Davis. You can catch us again tomorrow with the latest news about Wisconsin and the world. We'll be back again soon. Take care. Have a great day.